Hey everybody, welcome back to the Gains for Girls podcast. Today's guest is and has been a fearless advocate for women's sports, of course, but the way in which she was thrust into this position is unfortunate, to say the least. It is terrible. It is traumatic. It's something that no girl or woman or person should ever have to face or experience. But Payne McNabb, she was a high school senior playing volleyball when, I'm sure you've seen the video, a boy on the opposing team posing as a woman jumps up, spikes the ball, hits Peyton in the face to where she is knocked unconscious, where she lays for minutes before coming back around, still dealing with these effects of this hit, this brain injury still to this day. And this happened in September of 2022, so nearly almost 2 years since the hit, and she is still going to weekly doctor appointments, which again is just, it's a terrible experience, but she is using this terrible experience for the benefit of others. As I said, she has been someone who has traveled the nation. She is an ambassador for Independent Women's Forum, who has been really the leading group on these issues, not limited to just women's sports, but women's spaces, developing the Women's Bill of Rights, working pretty closely with prisoners who are dealing with men and infiltrating into their all women's prison facilities. So everyone should check out Independent Women's Forum at IWF.org. But anyways, I just love Peyton. She's become a dear friend. We have traveled to many states together, and she's doing incredible work. And I think the best thing about Peyton is she's from Murphy, North Carolina. So she has this awesome accent. It makes me wish that I was from North Carolina. But make sure you check out the interview with Peyton McNabb. Okay, Peyton, thank you so much for joining. Over the past year or so, you, of course, have been a wonderful advocate for keeping women's sports only for women. But I think more importantly to me, you have become a dear friend and someone who I just love and care about a whole lot. We've done a lot of different things together in the different states across the country. So you're just amazing, and I appreciate you so much. But I wanted you to start by telling us a little bit about your background, and how you got into playing sports.
Okay, so I'm from Murphy, North Carolina. I went to Howysonam since the beginning. And my dad has always been very involved in the school. He was the baseball coach when I was like born until a few years ago, and he became the principal of my school. And I'm just from a very community involved rural area. So we had to play all the sports for us to even have a team. So I played volleyball, basketball, and softball. I was a year-round athlete in softball, playing on travel teams in different states. And I was always in some kind of sport at any time. That was a very big part of my life, as well as everyone else in my families.
So at that point, you played, so you say, basketball, volleyball, softball. Flash forward to high school. You still played those sports. But I want to take it to your senior year, where this is where I found out about you. I think this is where the nation really found out about who you were, because unfortunately, you were impacted in playing volleyball in a way that unfortunately is becoming more and more common. But take us to that game, your senior year, where ultimately the trajectory of your life changed.
Yeah, so we went into this game against Highlands, which we all knew there was a boy on the team. It was like kind of rumored, but it was like pretty obvious also, so everyone knew. We didn't want to play them, but we had no choice because they were in our conference, so we were forced to by our North Carolina High School Athletic Association. And we go into this game, and I just remember seeing, like, I was pretty scared playing against him. So was everyone else on my team. We had a really young team, and they had never seen him before. He was the same age as me, so I've seen him all 4 years. But during COVID, that kind of, like, cut all of our sports and stuff in half. So, like, we didn't really see each other that much. And he didn't hit puberty until, like, usually when boys hit puberty. So that's when it got worse or whatever. But I remember going into this game and seeing like the faces of all the younger girls on the team who had never had to play him before. And they were literally shaking. They were so scared. And the whole week leading up to the game, we had to practice differently to prepare to play against him because no one else hit the way he did in the whole conference that we went up against. And I've talked to like different girls from different teams in the surrounding areas, and they had to do the same thing. Their teams practice differently to prepare to play against this individual, and which is completely ridiculous and like messes up the whole, like your whole like plan training for in general.
Game. Exactly. Strategy.
Yeah. So it was definitely, you know, I didn't know. We didn't really know what to do. And like looking back, this really wasn't like, you didn't really talk about this issue as much as we do now. So I feel like if it was now, we just wouldn't have played. But at the time, we had no idea what to do. Like we come from an area that I never thought like this would we never thought we'd have to see this coming from where we come from because this just doesn't happen. So, yeah.
And I think it's important to mention too that, and I didn't realize this, but in volleyball, a boy's net or a men's net is 7.5 inches higher than a women's net. So not only does this boy, of course, have biological advantages over, you know, you girls, but also he's basically playing with a handicap in the fact that the net is so much lower than what every other guy has to play with. So of course, I mean, it's almost as if they're acknowledging that biological advantages exist when they have a net that is that much higher. But anyways, you go up against him. Of course, you see him on the other side. You guys are all just kind of like not sure what to do. You're scared. Take us through that video that now we have all seen, which is incredibly unfortunate. I imagine people watching this just like I did. Like, I mean, you can't help but put yourself in your shoes. Like you're watching this. And you, I mean, I'm in pain for you watching this. So take us through that.
Yeah. So, I was the setter and I wasn't tall enough to like reach the top of the net. So I didn't block or anything. And I usually always covered tips. So I would go behind our tallest girl who was blocking, who still couldn't even come close to the ball. So I was behind her like usual. And then once I got hit, the impact was so hard that it knocked me unconscious for about 30 seconds. And I was in a fencing position. So like my hands and legs were up or whatever. And, I remember like in the video, there's like a scream and then everything is so silent and no one knew what to do. Like the faces of my teammates and stuff, like their hands were like over their face and they were just like terrified of what just happened. And my coach and like my athletic director and everyone like came around me and like was trying to like wake me up. And my she's like, my coach is trying to push my legs down because she doesn't know like what's happening to me, and they just keep coming back up, but like I'm not awake. And then finally when I come to, they like help me up, and then the other side's trainer asks me what happened. And I was like, well, that boy on y'all's team just hit me in the face. And I don't think he was like expecting that kind of answer because I don't think like you're allowed to talk about it or whatever. But I can't help like what comes out of my mouth. So I said that and he was just like, oh, okay. And then carries me off the court. He does one like little finger test on me. And then he said, that was all good. I can go back into play. And luckily, my coach and athletic director were like, no, like she's not going back in. And thankfully so, because I ended up going to the doctor and I had a concussion, permanent whiplash, and a brain bleed.
Oh, my God.
With a lot of other things that like follow that. So, yeah.
What was the response of the boy's team and the boy, you know, did he ever say sorry? Did he ever reach out? Did he ever try and apologize? Was there ever any communication from, I guess, the teammates or the boy and you?
Yeah, so while I was laying there, the other team was actually laughing at me. They were all like together in a group laughing. And if you like keep watching like the rest of the video, like a couple of the girls on my team who are also like my cousins, so like I guess they know you're like pretty serious, but they're like walking over there and saying like, "What are you laughing at? Like nothing's funny. I don't know why y'all are laughing." And then that just like made them laugh even more. And after the game, I was like walking. Thankfully, that's the only game that my parents didn't come to all season. And I thank the Lord for that because honestly, I don't know like what would have happened. But I was going to the bus, and the coach and like I think a parent or something came up to me, and they were like, "Is your nose okay?" Like asking about my nose, and I was like, "Well, yeah, I didn't hit my nose; it hit me right in the head." And they just like seemed to not really care about it, like they just were trying to brush it off and make it like a non-issue. And then the boy specifically hadn't said anything to me until like right after the first time I spoke out. He messaged me on Instagram and he was like, I can't remember, it was like something like rude, like I think he said I was living rent free and he was living rent free in my head or something, like I don't know.
So not apologizing, basically saying
No.
like, you can't stop talking about me, like
Yeah. Making it about him when, like, I mean, in a way, it's not really about him. Like,
no.
If you followed me throughout the years, you know I'm a South Dakota girl at heart who grew up in a ranching family. And I know that America First isn't just a political movement, it's a kitchen table issue, quite literally. I always support American family-owned companies, ranchers, and farmers who put high-quality meat products on the tables of their fellow Americans. And my friends at Omaha Steaks are the experts. With Father's Day right around the corner, what better to give dad than the experience of world-class Omaha Steaks with the deluxe Father's Day gift for just $89.99. This package includes a mouth-watering assortment of dad's grilling favorites like Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Top Sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steaks burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Get quality steaks for the fathers in your life. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus four free burgers today.
And this is a boy who even then went on to be recruited for women's college volleyball. I don't know what
Yeah.
ever happened there, but I know he was being recruited based off of videos and such that he was posting that I saw, which is asinine, really. But you mentioned having your doctor's appointment. Take us through, I guess, kind of having talked to you obviously before and knowing some of the background of this. You went to a doctor at first down in Georgia, right? But they weren't willing to see you once they found out how you got your injury. Is that true?
I went to my primary doctor like as soon as I could, and then she like immediately referred me to a neurologist, and then they went through the whole like scans and all that stuff. They explained to me what and all was wrong with me, and then they just were so confused on how this happened in a girls' high school volleyball game. So then my mom finally was like, "Well, it wasn't a girl that hit her; it was a boy." So they like didn't know what to do with that. And then they call back later, and they're like, "She's all good." Like after they just told me like I wasn't all good,
Wow.
and my mom was like, "What?" Like she was like so upset and asking them like to explain why, and they like ended up just hanging up on her.
Oh my
Like
gosh.
it was too controversial. Like, I don't know.
And so you
Crazy.
just had another appointment recently. The effects, again, having heard you testify in many different states, like the effects of what you have gone through and continue to go through, in terms of, being partially paralyzed, having vision impairment, memory impairment, accommodations for testing at school in high school, because it's impossible to retain information in that way when you've suffered a brain injury. What does that kind of look like for you now, and as you move forward in the future?
So school is definitely still a lot harder for me than it used to be. I'm still having to get help in school, unfortunately. And like last semester, it was so hard. I didn't know if I would come back, but I'm doing a lot better now, and I'm trying a lot harder, and I'm getting extra help. So I'm trying in school, and then like for my body and stuff, my vision is still kind of off. Still have to wear my glasses and everything, but my body is really what's still like the worst. Like it's still in shock from what happened, and things just still like aren't the same as they used to be. So I'm having to have these doctor appointments like every week, and it's
This was over
definitely
a year ago.
not it was almost, 2 years ago at this point, and I'm a college student who's having to pay like tuition and stuff. And now I'm having, on top of that, doctor's appointments every week.
Wow. What do you think of when you see, like, of course, these instances continue to happen, especially after we saw this past week? We have Democrats who are our leaders, and that is certainly in air quotes, who really try and gaslight the American people, like Jerry Nadler, and they say this isn't happening, or they say something to the effect of, be compassionate, be empathetic. What's your response to that?
I want them to be compassionate to all the female athletes that are having to suffer because of this issue that is definitely happening, and it's continuing to happen every day, like you said. I mean, we're literally like hearing a new story about it every day. And it's a slap in the face to every female that has had to deal with this. I mean, the emotional trauma, the physical trauma, everything that follows that. I don't understand how it's still an issue, and for them to like we can see right through the delusion, because obviously what they're saying is lies, but it's sad that people like actually believe these people and what they're saying, because it's not true and it's obvious because it's shown every day.
Of course. And the thing is, like, I really do feel like majority of everyday people, forget Republican, Democrat, like majority of people understand, as unfortunately these things continue to happen, they understand that our leaders are lying to us. But that was a vote to the Protection of Women and Girls in Olympic and Amateur Sports Act this week. It was introduced by Senator Tommy Tuberville. All 51 Democrat senators, all 51 voted in opposition. I mean, do you think they believe it? Do you think they're fearful to step like out of line on this issue?
Of course they are. I mean, they know. I think every single person knows deep down, whether they want to admit it or not, that this is ridiculous, and it's like we're living in the Twilight Zone, because I know they even know, like, this is so weird and so stupid. So, which is really sad, because if you're going to be voted in such a high position to be our leader, then you should be able to have enough guts to be able to stand up for what's right.
I totally agree. If our leaders can't find it within themselves to defend women, we need new leaders. But like I mentioned in your intro, like you have been an influential part, of course, in your home state of North Carolina, but really across the nation. So, what have you been doing since this happened to you to protect women's sports?
Yeah, so I've been traveling a lot more than I had before, and
You had never been on an airplane before this.
no. So it's definitely been crazy and like really out of my comfort zone, but this was not in my future plans at all. And I think I love what you say all the time, that the quickest way for God to laugh in your face is to make your own plans, because that is so true. Again, not in my comfort zone at all, but this is what the Lord's plan was for me. So I'm just gonna keep pushing through to help as many people as I can for as long as I can, and then just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. And your sisters and your cousins, and tons of girls across the nation really have you to thank. But in particular to North Carolina, actually, because I think North Carolina was an important state, one of the more recent ones in getting this bill done and through. Have some awesome leaders there who carried this bill and championed this bill, which is amazing. But I wholeheartedly believe that this would not have been done in North Carolina had this not happened to you. So while of course what happened to you should have never happened and is unfortunate and should never happen to anyone, I really do think it was kind of like this catalyst in getting North Carolina to do the right thing. Of course, ultimately Governor Cooper vetoed the bill, but they were able to override this veto with a majority vote. So I guess last question here is your message to Governor Cooper. I was super excited with the news in North Carolina of who won the Republican primary for governor, because I think Roy Cooper is a spineless, morally bankrupt coward. So what's your message specifically to him?
No one was shocked when he vetoed it because, again, he is a spineless man. But he has daughters, so like that means like you he knows that this is wrong, and again, he just doesn't have enough courage to admit it because he's afraid of upsetting the, whatever side. And again, which is like, if you're not gonna have enough, I keep wanting to say some of the stuff. If you don't have enough courage to step up for what's right, then you shouldn't have a position. And I'm really looking forward to for him to be out of the office.
Woohoo, me too. You're the best. Like I said, you're fighting for so many, which is why I know you fight. So it's amazing. You're wonderful. And we love you. So thank you for
Love you too.
you're the best.
Thank you for having me.
I told you her accent was awesome. I just love listening to her talk. But like I said, Peyton has been incredibly influential. She has been someone who has really moved the needle on this topic as more and more girls, unfortunately, are becoming injured in their sports, suffering season-ending injuries, oftentimes career-ending injuries like Peyton's. Again, a terrible circumstance, but Peyton is truly turning lemons into lemonade. And for that, I thank her. I know that your daughters thank her. If you're a female athlete yourself, you thank her. All of humanity really should be thanking her. But thank you for tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe anywhere where you get your podcast. And we will see you again next week.